begin reading at verse number 1 and read about 16 verses here. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, and thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal.
Many ways of keeping us, but
they can be reduced to two ways. He keeps us by the power of His Spirit, and He keeps us by providence. Now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we mean He restrains the evil that's within us. There's a good illustration of this in Genesis chapter 20. We have the story of Abimelech, I believe it was. Yes, Abimelech, the king of Gerar, who took Sarah, Abraham's wife. And God came to Abimelech in a dream by night, and He said, "Abimelech, you're a dead man. You're a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, she's a man's wife." But you go on down here to verse number 6 now. Genesis chapter 20 and verse number 6. And you'll see what I'm talking about when I say that God has many ways of keeping us. And one of the ways that He keeps us is by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is, the evil within us is restrained by God's power. This sixth verse, it says, God said unto him in a dream, "Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her." So, that's a good biblical illustration there of what I'm saying. That we're kept from the evil, we're kept from the world by the power of the Spirit of God restraining the evil that's within us. And then we're kept by the providence of God. By that I mean He removes occasions and objects out of our way whereby ordinarily, if they weren't removed, we would yield ourselves to. So we're kept by the Spirit of God and we're kept by providence. Over here in the book of 1 Corinthians, let me read a verse there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Now, keep in mind what I'm saying. I'm saying that He has many ways of keeping us from the evil world, the principle, the system, the devil himself. Many ways of keeping us. By the power of the Spirit of God and by providence. Now, in this 13th verse, He says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." Listen to this now. "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, and will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Now, what is said here is what I've already said. That He saves us and keeps us from the evil system of this world and from the devil himself by the power of His Spirit, restraining, sustaining the evil that's within us. And secondly, by removing occasions and objects to sin from our pathway. He's able, and He will not permit anything upon us to come upon us that we're not capable or able to bear by the grace of God. And whatever comes upon us, He'll provide, He said, a way of escape. Now, in this 16th verse, He said, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Now, the truth of this verse applies to you and I in a sevenfold way. There are seven things that I want to mention here this morning in regard to what this 16th verse says. Believers or Christians, That's all they are to it. They're different. And if they're not different, then somebody's got a problem. If we're not different, then those that are in the world, then we've never been delivered or separated from the evil of this world. That's all they are to it. There's got to be a difference. If there's no difference in you and your neighbor who's lost, in your objects, your pleasures, your appetites, and your desires and satisfactions, then there's no difference in your state or standing before God. There's got to be a difference. He says here, they are not of the world. Who's he talking about? He's talking about those that he prays for. Now listen, in the ninth verse he said, I pray for them. I pray for mine. I pray for the blood bought. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. I don't pray for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. They are not of the world. Jesus said we're not of the world. No way are we of the world. He said, I told you at the outset, he has many ways of keeping us from the world. He keeps us from the world by the power of his Spirit and by providence. Now, if we're not kept from the world, evidently, we're still in the world. Now, that's the sum and substance of it. If we're not kept from this world's system and this world's pleasure and this world's objectives, this world's principles, if we're not kept from these things, evidently, we are still in the yoke of bondage and in the gall of bitterness and still in our sin. Now, I mentioned some of these things before, but let me mention them again in regard to this world. So we might get some idea of what we're talking about when we talk about the world. Now, the world is the world that I'm talking about here this morning, the system, this principle is not too much disturbed by the religionists of our day. They don't disturb the world very much because they're so much like the world. And that's what I'm trying to say here this morning, that there ought to be a difference. There ought to be a difference in me and in the world. And I think that the reason why the world is not disturbed very much by today's religion is because there's no difference. There's no difference. We leave the world alone, and the world leaves us alone. Isn't that right? We leave the world alone, and the world leaves us alone. They don't pay any attention to what we say because most of us aren't saying anything. Now that's right, isn't it? Most of us is not saying anything. They leave us alone. In fact, we spend all of our time, most of us spend our time answering questions that nobody's asking. Nobody's interested in what we've got to say. We pretty well conform to the worldly customs. We talk like them. We dress like them. We look like them in every respect. We go where they go. We join hands with them. We brag a lot on the flesh through a sickly, sissified, compromising ministry. We are to them nice people, a little ignorant, a little ancient or antiquated, perhaps unstable and emotional, but not at all dangerous or troublesome. That's the way they regard us. Sad, isn't it? We have our religion, and the fellow next door has his. You have your religion, and I'll have my religion. He can't see any great or vital difference in his religion and my religion. Now, there's got to be a difference, brethren. That's what I'm saying this morning. There's got to be a difference. If there's no difference in his religion and your religion, then we're still in the world. That's all there are to it. We're still in the world. We haven't been delivered from the world. If we know in our hearts there's no difference, we need to seek the Lord. We need to seek Him and ask Him to come. visit with us, speak to us, change us, convert us. I told you here the other night, conversion was not the changing of churches. That's not what conversion is. It's not the changing of doctrines. It's not even the changing of lifestyles. Conversion is what? It's the changing of masters. Renouncing one and submitting to another. Now, if we haven't been converted, then we serve the same master that the world serves. Well, now, listen. Christians, the people of God, those that the Lord Jesus Christ was praying for, the they. Now, they have a different standing from those who belong to the world. They have a different standing altogether. I'll tell you how they stand. They stand in Christ. Those that are blood bought, that have been purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, they stand completely in Christ. Not partially in and partially out. No, but they stand body, soul, and spirit from the top of their feet to the crown of their head, every fiber of their moral being, they stand in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's their standing. And if you're a believer here this morning in Christ and you've truly been converted, you stand in Christ. You stand in Him, whiter than the driven snow. And your standing in Him is going to produce something in your daily life. Your relationship to God is going to, that is by way of state and standing, is going to produce something in your everyday life. There's going to be a difference. There's going to be a difference. There's going to be a difference in the way you talk. There's going to be a difference in the way you act and react under certain situations. You're going to bear and forbear. You're going to forgive. You're going to love. In spite of. You're going to do these things. Because it's there. It's that God principle. It's that God image that has been implanted in you. You're going to be faithful. You're going to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to find out that there's not going to be any burden, or any command that's going to be too heavy, too burdensome, too difficult for you to attempt to bear for His sake. Why? Because of your relationship to Him in Christ. Because of your standing in Christ. Because your sins have been forgiven freely by the grace of God in Christ Jesus through His true and proper offering. He offered Himself in our stead, and God poured out His unmitigated gall and wrath upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and He paid it all. And all your sins are under the blood. They're forgiven you for Christ's sake, and you've been given a standing in Christ that makes you accepted in the Beloved. And as I heard a preacher say not so long ago, and I didn't necessarily like the way he said it, but it was true nevertheless, you're as sure of heaven right now as if you had been there 2,000 years or a million years, if you're standing in Christ. See, there's a difference. There's a difference. He said, they are not of the world. They're like I am. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm not earthly. I came from the Father. I'm not of this earth. Our text said, they are not of the world. He advances this reason why he's praying for them, why they should be kept. He said, they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. All right, there's a difference. Christians have a different standing from those who belong to the world. Ours is in Christ Jesus, and theirs is in Adam. Ours is in the second Adam, theirs is in the first Adam. Everything that's in Adam, God's condemned. You know that? There's not a single solitary thing in Adam that God has not utterly condemned. He's condemned everything in Adam, because everything in Adam is polluted. In Adam all are lost. If we never get out of the first Adam into the second Adam, we'll die and go to hell, every one of us. We've got to get out of the first Adam. God has condemned the first Adam. condemned the flesh. That's where the world stands. They stand in Adam. God's condemned Adam. They stand there. All right, secondly, lots to say a whole lot more about this, but we're not. We've got too many things to mention here. Secondly, believers possess a different nature than they who are of the world. Believers are born of the Spirit of God. They're born of the Spirit. They've experienced the new birth. Except a man be born again. Except a man have the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's none of his. You see, they have a different spirit. They're born of the Spirit of God. But they that are in the world, they're born of the flesh. And that which is flesh is flesh, and that's all it ever will be is flesh. They have a different nature. We're born of the Spirit, and they're born of the flesh. And thirdly, they serve a different master than you and I do. They serve their father, the devil. Those in the world, now, you know, that this is hard here for the average religionist to get a hold of. It's hard for him to submit to. He's so lawless himself. He's so lawless that yet he's religious. He's religious, but he's lawless. And he's satisfied, you know, in his little petty religion. And he's satisfied in his sin. And if you tell him that he's of his father the devil, he's shocked and offended. But actually, everyone who's in Adam is of the flesh, and they are of their father the devil. Their father is the devil. They can't pray Our Father which art in heaven. I know they have these great big public meetings, and they think it's a religious thing to do to call upon some pious member of this particular body to stand up and lead us all in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven. Where was it? I was at some place and the preacher asked me, he said, would you stand, he said, at the outset here. It was a mixed congregation. There wasn't a half a dozen Christians in the whole bunch, I don't suppose. Made no pretense of being Christians. And the preacher asked me if I would take part in the service. He said, would you lead them in praying the Lord's Prayer together? And I thought, boy, I'm in a hard place. What am I going to do? So I said, well, all right. So I just took the Bible and I said, well, all of you repeat with me. We'll read this together. We're not going to pray it together because there's too many there that couldn't say Our Father. And I wasn't going to acknowledge that they were. See? No, they are of their father, the devil. That's who they are. We serve different masters. Jesus said here, he said, now, they are not of this world, even as I'm not of this world. Well, if that's so, then, we serve different masters. They have for their father the devil. And the Scripture says the desires of their father they do. But we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We serve our Father which art in heaven, hallowed and sacred and holy and gracious be His name. And fifthly now, we have a different citizenship. Their citizenship's right here on this earth. Everything that they own and possess and everything that's dear to them is right here on this earth. Their property, their wealth, their children, their ties, their bonds, all of their relationship is wedded deep, anchored firm and deep right here on this planet earth. That's their citizenship. They think, actually, that this is their final resting place. They believe that this world is their home. But we believe that this world is not our home. We're just passing through.
Our citizenship is in heaven. We look for a country. We look for a city not made with hands. We look for one that was builded and founded and made by God Himself. Eternal in the heavens, Paul said. We have a different citizenship. Ours is not on this earth. We're not concerned about how much money we can pile up. We're not concerned about how many hours a day that we can work in order to pile up more resources to enjoy at some other time. We're not concerned about that. We're concerned about heavenly things. We're concerned about the cause and the claims of the Lord Jesus. He's our captain, the captain of our salvation. He's our elder brother. His honor is at stake. We're concerned about Him. We're concerned about preaching the gospel. We don't preach the gospel primarily to win somebody to Christ. That's not our goal in preaching the gospel. Our goal in preaching the gospel is for the glory of God, that God might be glorified. Certainly, if God wants to save people through the preaching of the gospel, and that's how He saves them, well, that's His business. But that's not our primary purpose for preaching the gospel or doing anything. Everything that we do, every thought that we have should be brought into captivity and brought under control, ought to be for the glory of God, for God's glory. Why? Because that's where our citizenship is. That's where we're going to spend the eternity of the forever with Him. We're passing through. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Here a short time, that's all. I have a hiding place in Christ. There's a difference, you see. There's a difference between the world and believers. They have a different standing. Their sins are forgiven. They have a different nature. They're born of the Spirit. They have a different Father. Their Father is God Almighty, the Maker and the Creator of this world and the Sustainer of this world. They have a different heaven's their home. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. For who? I pray not for the world. I pray not for the world. Let not your hearts be troubled. Don't be troubled about this. I know that difficulties will come, but don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Were not so, I wouldn't have told you this. I go to prepare a place for you. For you. Who? I pray for them. Father, keep them from the evil, because they are not of this world, even as I'm not of this world. I go to prepare a place for you. For you. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare for you. And I'll come again, and I'll receive you. And where I am there, you'll be also. See? We're not of this world. We're not of this world. Oh, no. That's the reason it grieves my heart. And I see men not concerned, profess to be Christians, and not concerned about the cause and claims of Christ. Men who will just make any flimsy excuse to keep from joining themselves to the assembly. When the gospel's being preached, and the songs of Zion are being sung, and fellowship is sweet with the brethren, and people will oftentimes make flimsy excuses not assembling themselves. I'm bothered, I'm worried, because I believe, brethren, if a man's interested in the Lord Jesus Christ, if he's interested, he's going to come where he can hear Him exalted and where he can hear the things of God. If he knows his sins are forgiven for Christ's sake, and he stands wrapped in the wool of the Lamb, and that his righteousness is as perfect as the righteousness of Him who gave it to him, well, he's going to be interested. that he's used. All the devils in hell wouldn't keep him away. He wants to come and he wants to take part. He wants to hear about the Lord Jesus. He wants to hear about the captain of his salvation. Why? Because he knows shortly he must put off this body of flesh. He knows it won't be long and he'll put it off. He'll go to be with his Lord, and forever he's going to be with him to enjoy all that's out there. I cannot tell, neither has entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those that love him. Just don't know about it. I'd be a fool to stand up here and talk to you about the glories of heaven when I don't know too much about the glories of heaven. I just know it'll be something that will stagger our very thoughts and imaginations. It'll be something. The glory of heaven. To be where Jesus is. That'll be heaven. That'll be glory. That'll be glory for me. Alright. Serve a different master. Serve a different master. Have different citizenship. We even have a different aim. Different aim in life than they do. Our aim is what? Our aim is, I've already mentioned, to please God. That's our aim. What is the aim and desire of the worldly? Huh? Please self. Please self. That was your aim one time, wasn't it? That was my aim. I'd done everything in this world to please myself, and you did too. Be honest. Be honest now. You've done everything in this world to please yourself. Some of us haven't been weaned from all of it yet. Some of us still doing some things to please ourselves. But the Christian... Christian, the true believer now, the whole tenor and scope of his life is going in one direction. That's to please God. I know that there's some stumbling and there's some falling and all of that on the side, and there's some resting and all of that, but the whole tenor of his life points in one direction, not to please self, but to glorify God. And sixthly now, we have a different life. We have a different far below the standard set before us. I know that. I know it. But no Christian, now you listen to me, no Christian goes to the same excess of sin as the worldling does. You can mark that down. No Christian. He don't enter in to the depth, to the wideness, to the excess of sin as the worldling does. He don't do it. He may fall into it, but not into the depth of the excess of it. There's a difference there. And also, brethren, we have a different destiny. We have a different day. You think of that now. We have a different day. Where? What's your destiny? Where are you going? I told you here a couple weeks ago that we're all travelers. We're all travelers. Every one of us. There's no rest for the sole of man's foot. We're going somewhere. Upward, downward. We're going one way or the other. We're going. We can't deny that. We're here. We're moving. We're getting older every day. We're going to pass on beyond this veil of tears someplace. We're going someplace. Where is it we're going? We have a different destiny than the world. Jesus said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. We have a different destiny. Where are we going? Well, I'll tell you where they're going. I'll tell you where they're going. I don't like to talk about this too much. I hate to remind men and women of this, that men and women and boys and girls that are unfaithful and ungodly and don't care, indifferent and only concerned about themselves, and have never sought the Lord Jesus Christ, just going their way. I'll tell you where they're going to wind up. They're going to wind up in hell. Oh, what an awful place. The lake of fire. I'd be a fool again to try to tell you about the awfulness of hell, but just the description that our Lord used makes it bad enough. He said the lake of fire. The lake of fire. If a man's not saved, he's going to the lake of fire. We have a different destiny than the worldling does. He's going to live in this life for just a few short years. And going to be satisfied while he's only going to be satisfied a few minutes, that's all, in light of eternity. He's going to have an urge to do something in order that some animal-like lust in him is satisfied, and he'll yield to that temptation, And that'll be all the heaven that he'll ever know, is the 5 minutes or 10 minutes or an hour or 2 or 3 hours of some sort of a sensual pleasure that he gets. That's all he'll ever have. Hell will be his home. You ever wonder why it is that men and women, boys and girls, they reach an age of 12, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, why they're determined, well, someone else is involved in alcohol out here, drinking some alcohol, and they have an urge to do that. They have an urge, an unquenchable urge to get involved in that. And they won't be satisfied until they try. They won't be. All hell, unless it's by the power of the Holy Spirit of God restraining them, they'll enter in. Whatever it is, they got an urge to do it, an urge to do it. They'll sell their soul for a nickel. They'll sell their soul for one bottle of beer. That's right. One marijuana cigarette. Sell their soul for it. That's right. They got an urge. Other kids are doing it. I'm 6 feet tall. I'm as tall as they are. I walk like they walk. I want this. I got to have it. Sell their soul. 10 minutes, please. Isn't that right? Sell their soul for 10 minutes, please. Brother, we got a different standing. If you got a different standing this morning, you thank God for it, because it's not because you withstood temptation, all that. That ain't the reason. You know that as well as I do. Oh, we have a different stand. Theirs is a lake fire, where the worm never dies, where the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and forever. Listen, the world is a system built up away from God. And from it, we've been taken. That's what Jesus said. From this world, we have been taken, delivered, and separated from this world. And Jesus said here, Father, Father, I have given them thy word. And the world, which we've been delivered from, and taken and separated. And the world hath hated them. The world has hated them. Now listen. Because they are not of this world. The world hath hated them. Plots against them. Laughs at you when you make a fool out of yourself. The world laughs. You know that? When the world delights in seeing you sin. The world delights in that. People just clap their hands. There's a secret inward satisfaction and joy that the world gets when they see you and I being unfaithful to our Lord. They just clap their hands. They say, I knew there wasn't anything to it. I knew put him in a certain situation, under certain circumstances, he'd do the same as I would. And they laugh. They laugh. Boy, when you stand true, stand 6 foot tall and stand true and say, I won't. By the grace of God, here I stand. And I will not be. World hating. Jesus said, Father, keep them from this evil, this world and its system. Keep them from it. Keep them from it. Don't let them become involved in it. Keep them from it, because they're not of this world. Because they have what? They have a different state. They have a different aim. They have a different desire. They have a different object. They have a different master. They have a different destiny. All these things are different. Father, keep them from the world. Well, the Lord, keep us this morning. Keep us from the world. Keep us from the world. And use the love of God as the means to keep us from the world. God's love to us. My, how He loved us. He gave His Son for us. Who can fathom that? Who can fathom? Who can understand the depths of the love of God? God coming down here to seek us. Jesus Christ. What does it mean when it says that Jesus Christ came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost? What's involved in Jesus Christ being a seeker? He sought you. He loved you when you were unlovable. He loved you when you didn't love him. He loved you when you hated him. He loved you when you was an object of misery and contempt, but he loved you. The Lord Jesus Christ set his love upon you. Wouldn't be satisfied until he got you, until he rescued you, until he delivered you, until he took you up unto himself. Oh, may the love of God be the means of keeping us upright and honorable while we're here in this world for Christ's sake, for his honor, his glory. That's not asking too much out of us, is it? No, sir, it's not. God, help us to be faithful. Only God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can help us. Make us mindful. Make us mindful of our duties, responsibilities. Make us mindful of it. Lest we forget. Lest we forget. Oh, it's easy to forget it. God help us. All right, stand with us.